Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I would now like to call the Sussex County Board of Adjustment meeting to order. At this time, I would like to call on our county attorney, Mr. Everett Moore.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I would like to take this opportunity to welcome a new board member here as well this evening. And Bud, congratulations on your recent appointment, and I know you'll do well. You've had a lot of opportunity to work with the board over the years. And so I'm sure that you'll represent the citizens of Sussex very well. As you know, our firm was recently appointed to the this position in Board of Adjustment. I'm here this evening. I'll probably be here the next meeting as well. But Jamie Sharp in my office, who's seated in the front row, will be here, seated up here shortly, and will actually conduct the meeting. Over the past few weeks, we've had opportunity to have discussions with the chairman, Dale Calloway, with Rick Burrell, the previous attorney. I've had an opportunity to discuss with Jennifer Norwood, Susan Isaacs, and Lawrence Lank concerning some of the issues before the board. Through those discussions, there's not going to be significant changes. However, since we're at the start of a new year and new council, we are going to have some minor changes. Number one, we do plan and we will request that a roll call vote be taken on each and every issue that takes place before the board. And by that, I mean each person would be called upon, asked to vote, and when you vote, please give your reasons for that vote. If someone has given sufficient reasons and you agree with that person's reasons, that is okay for you to say, I'm voting for the same reasons as enumerated by, and give that person's name. But it's very important that you give the names. Secondly, we would like you to ask the questions, sufficient questions, to establish the criteria for granting of a variance. I've asked Mr. Sharp, in the event that some of the criteria are not met, to make sure that he chimes in and asks the question so we can be sure to establish an adequate record on this. The other change, and it's relatively minor, if there are attorneys that are presenting cases, I am going to ask that the attorneys be called on and their cases be moved at the beginning of the hearings. And the reason for that is that, and it goes back when I first started practice, I practiced before Judge Ellis, who was the Court of Common Pleas judge for many, many years. And he always, anytime he'd do arraignments or other matters in court, he would have all the attorneys sit in front and all the people that were representing themselves. And he would start with the eldest attorney and keep going to, he came to the youngest attorney and then to the general public. And his reasonings were that the younger attorneys and the general public could get some experience by watching the attorneys who had gone first. And I know it's a very difficult standard that the public has to meet in order to meet the criteria for a variance and for the special use exceptions that you hear. And oftentimes people are nervous, and if they have the opportunity to see the kind of record that the attorney has established, that may help them in their case. So those are just some of the things that we're going to ask that we be aware of and try to act on in the future. I do know there are a couple of attorneys here this evening, and it's my understanding you are going to amend the agenda such that they can go forward to have their cases heard earlier. At this point, I would like Mr. Sharp to come to the front and take my seat. I'm going to trade seats with him, and he'll be conducting everything for you this evening.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Moore.
Mr. Chairman, while Mr. Yes. Moore is doing that, may I have the pleasure of the podium for just one moment?
You sure can, sir.
I am not on the agenda tonight. I have no matters before the board this evening. Members of the board, it is my distinct pleasure to stand in front of you this evening. On behalf of those members of the bench and bar who present applications, who oppose applications, who stand before you, I'm very pleased to welcome Mr. Rickards to the board. We are, those of us who practice here are very pleased with the decision, and we wish him the best of luck.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, sir, for this kind word. Okay. All right. Then now we'll go back. Go to the agenda. Are there any additions or corrections to the revised agenda as printed?
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion that we change the agenda so that case numbers 10,920 and 10,924 go first and second, respectively, so that the applicants can understand how we proceed.
Okay. Do I have a second to that motion?
I'll second that motion.
We have a motion by Mr. Mills and a second by Mr. Rickards that we adopt the changes to the revised agenda and to move case number 10,920 and 10,924 to the first and second case, respectively. All those in favor of the motion, Mr. Rickards?
Aye.
Okay. Mr. Werben?
Aye.
Mr. Hudson?
Aye.
Mr. Mills?
Aye.
And Mr. Calloway? Aye. Okay. Next, we'll have the approval of the minutes of our last regular meeting held on December the 19th, 2011.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion by Mr. Mills and a second by Mr. Hudson that we approve the minutes of our last regular meeting. All those in favor of the motion? Mr. Rickards? Aye.
Aye.
I didn't hear you. Mr. Hudson?
Aye.
Mr. Mills?
Aye.
Mr. Calloway? Motion so carried. Now, we have the next will be the finding of the facts. And, Mr. Sharp, we're going to entertain a motion or the motion on both of those together if we can do.
Okay?
And that'll be for the finding of the facts for November the 7th and November the 21st.
Motion to approve those findings.
I have a second to that motion.
I'll second that motion.
And again, I have a motion by Mr. Mills and a second by Mr. Rickards that we approve the finding of the facts for the November the 7th, 2011 meeting and November the 21st, 2011 meeting. All those in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Mr. Rickards?
Aye.
Mr. Werben?
Aye.
Aye.
Mr. Hudson, Mr. Mills, and Mr. Calloway? Aye. Motion carried. Okay. Mr. Sharp.
All right, this is the time and place for hearings before the Board of Adjustment. There are a number of public hearings this evening, and in order to proceed in an orderly fashion and ensure full participation by those present with an interest, hearings will be conducted subject to certain rules. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion and take directions from the chairman. Unruly or disorderly conduct will not be tolerated and may result from expulsion from the room. Each applicant will be announced. The applicant will ask to come forward and be sworn in. The applicant will then present the case, explain the request, present any exhibits or testimony in support of the application. The burden is on the applicant to address the statutory factors for a variance or special use exception. The board may ask questions of the applicant and any witnesses. The board will then invite public comment. Supporters go first, followed by opponents. Please identify yourself by name and place of residence for the record. All persons must be sworn in order to speak. Please be concise with your statements and avoid being repetitive. The board may ask questions of supporters or opponents. If you have questions for others, those questions must be first directed to the board, and then the board will then direct the question to the appropriate individual. Once all testimony has been presented, the public hearing is closed, and the case may be voted upon, tabled, or taken under advisement for consideration at the end of the agenda. If you're here for a case listed under old business, please understand that no new testimony or evidence will be taken. In addition, items under old business are considered after all of the new public hearings, and you are advised that it may be late in the evening when such matters come up. All board matters are discussed and voted on publicly in open session. All persons present may stay throughout the evening to view deliberations at the end of the agenda or to call the board's office in the morning for the result. In addition, you may view all of these proceedings live on the internet. For courtesy of those here this evening, if you have a cell phone or pager, we request that you turn that off for the duration of the meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First case, please.
Case number 10920, J.E.T. Amy Restoration, northeast of Road 273, approximately 676 feet southwest of Ornmore Avenue. A variance from the front and side yard setback requirement.
Gentlemen, I'm Norman Barnett. I'm an attorney with the law firm of Schaub and Barnett here in Georgetown. This case seeks a variance, a side yard setback variance. It's a rather unusual case, and it might help if I try to explain it to you. I'm not sure the documentation makes it real clear, but we're dealing with a property on Country Club Road, which is owned by Margaret Stossel, who's sitting here. And the prior owners were the parties who actually restored this property. It's Leanne Wilkinson and Aaron Hood. What happened here is this property was initially built probably back in the 40s, late 40s or 50s. It was built sort of on the corner of a lot, fairly good-sized lot, and it pre-existed zoning, so the setback was very minimal, both the front yard and the side yard setback. It's somewhat hard to, I think I can show you probably with a picture more better than anything. It might help if I swear the witnesses in and they can sort of identify.
I'm going to say yes. Those, okay. Please have them come up and be sworn in.
Okay.
I should have.
Go ahead.
You need to go up here, please, if you would, so you can be sworn in.
Can you please state your name and address?
Leanne Wilkinson, 402 Kings Highway, Lewis.
Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Aaron Hood, Lewis, Delaware.
You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Absolutely.
Margaret Stossel, 507 Country Club Road, Rehoboth Beach.
You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Barnett.
Okay. I only have one copy of this, and I believe is not in the board's packet. I'd like to. What happened when this property was first built? It was built virtually on the property line. It was 0.06 feet from the property line at its closest point. Also, the front yard setback was 17.1 feet when it was first built. But these were apparently predated zoning, so it would be considered a non-conforming use. When Jatem bought the property, they came to the county for a building permit. And the building permit application, which as I understand was prepared by the Planning and Zoning Office, indicated that this property was in an MR district. And I believe in the packet you probably have the building permit application.
Mm-hmm.
Just in case.
They have it.
We have it.
I passed
you do
it
have
down.
It.
They
okay.
Have it.
You'll note in the building permit application, it indicates an MR district and that the setbacks are listed as 40, 10, and 10,
mm-hmm.
which you would find in an MR district. Based on this permit and a survey that was done, and under the understanding that this property was in an MR zone, Jatem built a deck and a porch, which basically are the closest point of the deck to the property line is 5.05. And the once they went and applied for a certificate of occupancy, the Planning and Zoning Office checked the property and apparently found out that it was in an AR1 as opposed to an MR district. Based on that, they, and at this point, the deck and the porch had already been built. Based on that, they requested that a variance application be filed, and they waived the fee for the application, and that's what brings us here. It's probably best to look at the current survey, which is just slightly different from the survey I think you have in your packet.
Shows the exact as you can see on the side yard where the deck is, it shows 5.05. Mm-hmm. The setback in the MR would have been 10 feet. So this, and it's my understanding that the deck of the nature that was built can encroach into the setback area of 5 feet. So essentially what is needed is a 5-foot variance. The screen porch, as I understand, is 10.06 from the line. So that essentially what is needed to conform to the AR1 setback would be 5 feet.
Correct, Ms. Isaacs, correct me if I'm wrong. Once a non-conforming, and I assume that's what this is, non-conforming structure?
I just cleaned it up. I added everything in to clean it up.
Okay, so we're looking at other variances, not just what's
yes,
applied
just
for. Gotcha.
To clean it up.
Okay.
Okay, now just those two.
Yeah, I think they added in the application the front yard setback and assuming
did you say that the dwelling was 1940?
We've tried to find out when this was built. We can't tell from our documentation. We went through the title search. The same family had this property since 1946.
Well, it's before zoning, though.
Yes, it was. Okay. This house was built before zoning. Okay. The addition that we're talking about now, the deck and the screen porch, were put on just last year.
Okay.
Per the property card in 1973, they estimated it to be 23 years old then, so that would make it 1950.
Okay. And our zoning went into effect, what, 1960?
8, October
68.
Okay. So essentially that's what's needed, is that much of a setback. To conform with the rules of the board and to allow the board to make its findings, I could ask a few questions for the people involved here so that they can testify as to what happened. Okay. Mr. Hood? Okay, you were the builder on this project, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And are you the one who signed the building permit?
Correct.
Okay. And when you went to get the building permit, the county advised you this was the MR zoning?
Yes.
Okay. And you relied on that MR zoning in determining the setbacks?
That's what I did, yes.
Okay. And you went ahead and built this deck and the porch in reliance on this?
Yes.
Okay. And so we know, this survey, which was just presented to the board, which indicates the setback of the deck and the porch, are those the setbacks as they now exist?
Yes, they are.
Okay. And it's my understanding that there was another survey that the board has, which may show a slightly shorter distance, and there's been some modification to the deck to make it 5.05.
This is the one that I've always seen, and I've went from the line that the guys have always given me.
Okay. Okay. But as far as you know, this is the current survey?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Okay, now, in order to meet the full AR1 setback, you'd have to tear that deck down, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
That would be 15 feet, right?
And similarly for the porch itself?
Yep.
You'd be outside the AR1
yep.
setback, okay. And would it be a financial hardship in order to do that?
Yes, I would.
Okay. And you've seen the pictures that we presented to the board that show the area right where the setback is requested.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And just from your knowledge, what is next door beyond the fence there?
Kinsale Glen, which is a development.
Okay.
And trees, a big swath of trees.
Okay. Is there a substantial buffer between houses and...
Probably 20 Kinsale feet. Glen? 20 feet of trees okay. beyond the fence.
Okay. And to your knowledge, is the Kinsale Glen development an MR district?
It's a residential district.
But zoning being MR as opposed to AR?
I would imagine, yes.
Okay. I think that's all I have for Mr.
Hood. Mr. Chairman, I have a question for Mr. Hood. Mr. Hood, when you applied for the permit and you saw that it was a 10-foot side yard setback requirement, what was your reasoning for building into that?
Building into the setback? I never did. I was the deck was... doesn't have a step, so that's not into the setback, and the porch is 10 feet back.
Mr. Mills, if I could, the deck can encroach 5 foot as long as it's right. open. It can be 5 feet if it were MR zoning.
But the porch can't?
The porch has to be 10 feet.
Right.
It is?
Yes.
Well, by the new survey.
Yes.
The closest is 10.06.
I'm sorry. I'm looking at the old survey.
Okay.
Forgive me.
I have a question for you. You've built in this area before?
No, but I am familiar with the area.
You're familiar with the area. Do you, just for my information, do you, when you get a permit, do you kind of look at it and say, gee, I built a lot in here and this doesn't look right to me?
Not really.
That's
when you get a permit. Mm-hmm. It's either AR or MR.
Right.
You also get a separate carbon copy sheet where
correct.
They circle your setbacks, and they hand both of those to you. I worked within those parameters.
Okay. What I'm asking you is, do you have any hint that maybe something could be wrong here?
No. I mean, there's a
you
huge...
You just go by the permit, right?
Yeah, I go by the permit, and there's a huge neighborhood next door that's the whole area is residential.
Okay. So you would have no idea then. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay. Let me ask you a few other questions. In order to conform to the zoning, would this be the minimum setback variance that would be necessary?
That would be close to the minimum setback, yes.
Okay. And to your knowledge, would this alter the character of the neighborhood?
I think it would enhance the neighborhood, actually.
Okay. Okay, I think that's all I have for Mr. Hood.
Okay.
Okay. And I'd just like to ask Ms. Stossel and Ms. Wilkinson.
Yes, sir.
You've heard Mr. Hood's testimony and you've heard the statements I've made. Are those true and to the best of your knowledge, information, and belief?
Yes.
Ms. Wilkinson?
Yes.
You.
Okay.
Okay.
That's all I have.
All right. Are there any questions from members of the board? Mr. Rickards?
I'd like to ask the question of why would the why would you continue on with it if you didn't know that you were in violation? Who told you were in violation? That's the first thing. Yeah.
Talking to me?
Yes.
Sir, you need to come back up to the podium, please, so you address the board. Thank you.
The building inspector, actually the second building inspector, said was like, oh, whoa, there's some problem here with your, which he gave us all our stickers up until that point, and then after that, there was some
inspector, it was
issue.
The zoning inspector.
Yeah, okay. They brought up the flag.
Right. Okay, so that was the zoning inspector that prompted this, so... He's doing his job.
He's doing
his job. Okay. That's fine. Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Just to illuminate on that, I think what happened is when they went to apply for the CO, that's where they picked it up.
Let me, I think, Counselor, we can correct that now. Nothing irritates me more than to hear him say CO, and that has to do with building code. It should be the certificate of compliance. Okay, and for everyone in the room, it's certificate of compliance. That's the last inspection. Building code gives you a certificate of occupancy, but you must make, to finalize everything, it's called a certificate of compliance. Okay, let's get that across.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Mr. Workman?
We'll change that term.
No questions?
Mr. Hudson?
I'm a little unclear. So what do we need as far as what was originally applied for is not applicable
now, Mr. Hudson,
correct?
The only thing that's going to change is number 3, the request, instead of 5.2 is 4.95.
Okay.
Everything else stays the same.
Okay. Gotcha. Thank you.
Thank you, Sid. But, Mr. Mills?
Shouldn't we be considering a 9.4-foot variance on the side and a 23-foot variance for the front?
No.
No.
The least for the screen porch was 10.6, so we take that, the 4.9 difference. The deck has to be 10 feet. It's 5.05, so 4.95. Mm-hmm. And then the dwelling is nonconforming, but we're just adding it in. So the least is 0.6, the closest, so it needs a 14.4 from the 15.
From the 15, okay.
I said 6. That's just
and then
about.
The 17 for the front, so that would be 23.
Right.
That's the reason I asked Mr. Hull if it was non-conforming, because that would, change the ball game.
Okay.
Thank you
and,
for that.
And the only other thing is, I assume Mr. Barnett, your client knows that. Your client knows that in the future, if she wanted to cover the deck, that she couldn't do that without a additional variance.
I'm sorry,
if your client wanted to enclose or put a roof over the deck in the future, she would need an additional variance.
Understands that.
Understands that. Mm-hmm. Very well. Okay. Hearing no further questions.
Okay.
Are there any persons here that are in favor of this application? And there's, give your hands up. There's one, two, three, four, five, Five. Okay, five in favor. Do we have any correspondence?
No.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Okay, chair, hearing none, I will entertain a motion on case number 10,920.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion that we approve case number 920 due to the fact that the difficulty was not incurred by the applicant, planning and zoning, or I should say the permit department issued the wrong permit, and that the builder went by this permit, and he has a, and the rest of the dwelling at that point was non-conforming, so the 4.9 variance for the porch and a 4.95 variance for the deck and a 4.4 tenths of a variance for the dwelling be taken into consideration. And I'd like to make that a motion that we approve case number 10,920, based on those facts.
Okay. Do I have a second to that motion?
Second, Mr. Chairman, and I agree with Mr. Rickards on his finding of the facts, finding of the variance.
Okay. Then all those in favor of the motion, and we'll get again, we have...
Aye for the reasons stated already, okay. And meets the conditions for granting the variance.
Mr. Mills?
Mr. Chairman, I think it certainly shows uniqueness because it's a non-conforming structure from the beginning, and therefore it's, you know, there are variances necessary to enable reasonable use of the property. Most of the problem being the house, and the greatest variance obviously wasn't created by the applicant. We didn't hear testimony that would alter the essential character of the neighborhood. And I think that what they've asked for is a minimum to afford relief, so I, too, vote aye.
Okay, and I, too, also vote to approve case number 10,920 for the reasons that it's so been stated by Mr. Mills. Okay, so case number 10,920 is approved.